welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we have another interview with a Blue Tune legend. This time it's former goalkeeper and co-manager Paul Weathers. In part one, Paul talks about his early days at Dundee, working with Jim Leighton, and his loan spell at Peterhead.
Okay, this week's guest then is former goalkeeper and assistant manager Paul Weathers. Paul, welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. Yourselves?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, good.
How's things for you being in this last year then?
I think, well, it's been different for everyone, obviously. That's the obvious thing to say. But we really only had March until, I think it was middle of June, when we had this abrupt ending when we were due to play Hibs. So it was Friday the 13th, we were told to clear the building, and you know, it was one of those 2 weeks, we'll see in 2 weeks, etc. But unfortunately, we weren't back in the building until the middle of June, and it was totally different when we did get back in the building. But since June, it's been, I wouldn't say it's been normal, but it's as normal as it seems now. You know, we're used to all the precautions, etc. But it's been good having a job to go into and a bit of routine, shall I say, from June till now. So, but still can't quite get used to no fans. It's just, it is really surreal, to be fair. You know, it's, you need the fans back. And even if it's 500, 600, you need somebody there to create something. So played in Hampden with Peterhead when I was only maybe 600, 700 there. But when you played the League Cup semi-final and the League Cup final, you would have taken that 700, you know, open arms, both arms grabbed it. So, but hopefully the fans get back in and that'll be back to normal, hopefully. I think we're near the end.
Well, we certainly hope that we're near the end. It's, every time we think we're near the end, something else kind of crops up. So, but it looks as though we're getting there.
Yeah, hopefully that after Monday when we see the pubs opening and the beer gardens, we'll get a better idea then. But that's it. I'm halfway through my vaccinations, so hopefully that's normalities in the year.
Yeah, and they've got the dates for the new season starting as well. So hopefully by that time, most people have had at least their first vaccine. So we should be able to get the folk back in again.
Yeah, I mean, we sat down, was it many months ago, and I think if you put one person in every row of seats at McDermott, you got 800 people in. So, you know, you would like to think that the crowds are coming back, and maybe not 100%, but you'd like to think they're coming back in 25, 50% or something, which for some clubs is enough, hopefully.
What a buzz that must be, just to can even the thought of him fans back in for you guys must be a brilliant thing to think of just now.
It is, because I mean, we obviously changed manager last year. Callum came in to replace Tommy, and Callum has, in his whole season, he's had a top six and he won the League Cup finally. He hasn't had a fan in the stadium, you know. You know, and I know I was trying to preempt him, but he could leave the club and not had a fan in the stadium. Managers may be a football club and never met a fan inside the stadium, which, you know, it's crazy. But as I say, you appreciate it when you've, well, I do appreciate it. As I said, the 700 used to get it with the Queen's Park Peterhead, you know, they made a noise and they made an atmosphere, and that's what players want. They just want fans to be in there to create something, and it's quite eerie when you're in Hampden and it's empty, totally empty, that is.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see better days. But getting on to you then, Paul, let's take you back to the beginning then. How did you kind of start out, and in particular, how did you start out as being a goalkeeper? Because nobody really starts out to be a goalkeeper, do they?
No, probably not. Well, I maybe be the exception. I did. I come from Afford, so obviously used to play with my bigger, older brothers. So I was put in the goal because I was the youngest, and that's what happened. That as I progressed school football, Afford had maybe two goalkeepers, and it was a case of who was the best outfield, and I was better outfield. So I used to play outfield under Duress, left midfielder, and played there. We were quite successful in the school team, and then I got noticed to go into Aberdeen. To go train on a Tuesday night at the car park at Pittodrie. So it's the exact same surface then as it was as now. And I remember the first night I went in and they were saying, right, position, position, position. And because I was playing under Duress for the school team, when the man at Pittodrie says, what position, I went goalkeeper. And I went training with the goalkeepers. and then I probably combined that for maybe another year at the school team, played outfield for school team, went into Aberdeen and played for Sunnybank in goal, and eventually I got my wish and I was just a goalkeeper. I gave up outfield. So it was through my own choice, shall I say, that I did want to be a goalkeeper. Didn't fancy this running about chasing the ball all the time. I was waiting for it to come to me, but no, that's how I got, you know, to be a goalkeeper, being pushed in from my brothers and then choosing it rather than being an outfield, left midfield. There was never going to be a long term for me.
So how did you end up at Dundee then?
Well, when I played for Sunnybank, we were in Aberdeen, we played the games there, and there was an old scout called Bob Summers, and he just started working for Dundee with Archie Knox, his manager, and he had about four or five players going down there. Ian Stewart was one of them, and he was playing for Deeside at the time, and he just seemed to be scouting, and he decided Aberdeen was an area he was going to hit. And in the end, I think there was about seven or eight of us were travelling down from Dundee to Aberdeen in the school holidays, etc. So asked me to sign an S form, Aberdeen at that point. I was still going at Aberdeen. They get wind of it. They said they wouldn't make a decision until I was 16. Dundee were going to sign me, so I decided to go with Dundee. And it just felt right when you went down in the summer holidays and you were, you know, back in those days, I was going down at 14, 15 and training with the first team at that time. So they treated me well. They made me feel welcome. So I decided to take the jump, you know, rather than wait for Aberdeen at 16. And it progressed from there, so...
Did it help that you were going down there with, you know, six or seven different guys from the same area?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Craig Yates, another, I think, ex-Peterhead player. Craig Yates was one of the guys going down. Ian Stewart, was a Martin Tuch, Paul Donnelly, Gordon Duncan. So, you know, there was a few, and then there was some younger ones after that. But it definitely helped, you know, getting the train up and down the road with these guys, and we had some great times. And then there was a Canadian signed for us, Lee Davidson. Don't ask me why, but he ended up being in Aberdeen, staying in Aberdeen, and he had this mini, and there was about four or five of us crammed in this mini something on a Saturday night, coming bombing down that hill at Stonehaven to get up to Aberdeen. And you look back now and you're going, wow. But I'm here to tell the tale. But no, it was good times travelling down the road, and you know, I still speak to obviously Ian, and if I see Craig Yates, I know him through Andy Gibson, etc. So, you know, it was good. It was good times, and it definitely did help, you know, having the Aberdeen connection as such. It was Archie Knox that signed me, but I don't know. Archie agreed to sign me in March, and by the time I got there in June, he'd left, and it was Jockey Scott was the manager. So, I think, I'm not sure if that was a blessing, having missed Archie, because we used to go down and play games at that time, and he didn't hold back to the school games when you were down at 14 or 15. It was hairdryer treatment then as well. So, but no, so that Aberdeen connection definitely helped. Definitely helped. It was good times.
It wasn't long. Well, what was that? About 86, 87, was it?
86. Yeah, I joined in 86. Playing youth cup, got to youth cup final. Unfortunately, got beat by Dunfermline, and then I was due to make my debut in 89 when Gordon Wallace had taken over, and I broke my hand in a reserve game at Parkhead. So I think it was March 90 by the time I made my debut for Dundee at home against Dunfermline.
And it was a clean sheet for you as well, wasn't it?
It was, yep. It was. The team was, well, we obviously got relegated that year, which was disappointing, but I played the last eight games. And unfortunately, the damage was done earlier on in the season. The spell of the game, my first game was Dunfermline, and I think my second was live in B Sky B at that time with Richard Keys at Hearts, which was 0-0. And then my third game was a Dundee derby at Tannadice in a blizzard. So it was eventful, but it was thoroughly enjoyable. And it set us up nicely for what I hope was going to be the following season, but when we were in the first division at that time.
Yeah, you've got a handful of games, as you said there, but you can establish yourself, you know, later on as number one.
Yeah. I mean, I played a few games, and it was one of those, you look back now and you're a young guy and you've played, and then the expectation, you, I started well, played 8 games, and the expectation was high. You come back the following season, and I think as a young player, you always take time to adjust, and probably a few things I didn't look after myself properly during that summer, and then you expect everything that could be handed to you, and it probably took me another 6 months to adapt to that. Played a few games, and then I was fortunate the following season to start, which was the year when the first division championship with Dundee, and I think I played about 32, 33 games on the bounce then, and we were 12, 13 points clear, so that was a successful season. Dundee decided to go in a different way. That's when they signed Jim Leighton. So Jim played the last 6 league games, I think it was, and 2 Scottish Cup games. So that was the only real blip then. But as I say, you're looking back, you know, it's how you handle things. And it probably took me a bit longer to handle that disappointment of not having, you know, being dropped when we're top of the table. I think we're in this quarter final of the Scottish Cup at the time as well. But working with Jim was you know, excellent. You know, you can ask for any more when he's coming back up for Man United and he's telling his tales, but he's been 4 World Cups, etc., 91 caps, and it was great to work. It was he started the following season, Jim, and then that was the year of the back pass rule, and that's when really I feel as though I really took off, because the manager then, Simon Stainer, he made you feel great. He made you feel like the best goalkeeper in the world, and something, you know. And if you're keeping Jim Leighton at the team and he's telling you the best goalkeeper in the world, I actually felt it at times, you know, and had a successful season. We stayed up that season, so. But it's you know, Jim left, unfortunately. That previous, the next season after we won, you know, stayed in the Premier League, and that's where I look back now. And when I was a young goalkeeper, the best times I had was when I had an experienced goalkeeper beside me. Bobby Geddes was there. He left. Jim come in. And it was basically, they were basically your goalie coach then, if you look back to how the things are now. And, you know, and then Jim left, and unfortunately, I took a wee nosedive again after that in my career. But, you know, that's the experience looking back. But the good thing is that Jim's still a friend to this day, which, you know, he was my idol at Aberdeen. So, you know, every bad experience is a good one comes out of it.
What was Jim like at that time? Because obviously he'd gone down to Manchester United under, you know, great expectations, and I think he was probably a record signing for a goalkeeper at the time. It didn't work out for him, and sort of come back up the road quietly. So did it affect him mentally, do you think?
I think it took him a time to adjust. You could see he was determined, and you could see why. You know, obviously I know him more so nowadays, and he's a very determined guy, you know, Jim. Really determined and stubborn, and you know, you could tell then it, I think off the field things had affected him more than on the field things, you know, when he tells you the experiences. And I think nobody gets the gist of, you know, he's talking about press just hounding him for months and months, him and his family, you know. They really did go to town on him down, and which obviously it's up to Jim to share those stories. But some of the things he was telling me, you know, they really were hounding him off the field. And but he was still very determined, and I think the Dundee thing was one of those things. That he'd come from Aberdeen, successful, massive club, went to an even bigger club. He'd been used to being at Aberdeen, Man United, and playing for Scotland, and without being, you know, coming to Dundee at that time must have been a big shock. The way, you know, the facilities we had, the way the club was run at that point, etc. There was things that, you know, that would have been a big shock to him. And he you know, he was like just what I spoke about before. As soon as he went to Hibs and he had a manager who had full confidence in him, he just took off again, you know, and ended up playing for another probably 7-8 years at the top level with Hibs and Aberdeen, and that shows you what character he's got. But, you know, he was very determined, as Jim is in life, you know. I played golf him many a time, and, you know, that golf club comes out of that bunker at some rate when he's had 2 or 3 swings at it. He hates losing at anything. But that's probably what drove him to be the player he was, you know, and the man he is.
Yeah, that's probably why he's so successful. But after your sort of 2 years in the Premier League, you end up getting relegated.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for you, your kind of appearances sort of dry up as well.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you look back, I'll always say we look back, but you do at the time. Couldn't see at the time, but, you know, the management changes at that time are pretty quickly happening at Dundee. You know, I went from one manager to another, and I mean, I signed a contract when things were going quite well for myself, I'd been in the Scotland squad as kind of third, fourth choice goalkeeper at Pittodrie for a game with Michael Watt. And there was negotiation at a new contract, and it was obviously with Simon as manager. So and then Simon left 3 games into the next season, and Jim Duffy took over, who had played with, you know, Jim. And to say he was a goalie basher was an understatement. You know, he did like to give the goalkeepers criticism, and that's where when I spoke about not having an experienced goalkeeper there to share things with us. I'd phone Jim, you know, mainly on a Monday night, etc., and we'd be on the phone for an hour, but not being there every day and reliving it or living it with me, I think, you know, it did. I took a massive dent in confidence. You know, I used to joke that every Monday morning I'd walk in the manager's office and get shouted in from Jim, and I'd close the door, but I'd crawl underneath it to get back out because I felt that good. Mm. You know, every goal seemed to be, but he said, you know, but that was Jim. That was Jim's way. He was a tough manager, and I probably just was too young at that time to handle it. But you know, that's where I ended up working with Jim later on at Dundee as manager and goalie coach, and we're fine, you know, not a problem, but it's just things happen. And at that time, my confidence probably did take a massive dent through, and then they signed Michel Pageau, and as you say, I maybe played 6-8 games in 2 seasons, I think it was. So it was a disappointing way to end, but you know, looking back, it's just an experience. You know, it's a bad experience at the time for the last 2 years, but still had a great time and a great start to my career, I felt, at Dundee.
Is that one of the hardest things? Previously, you had a manager who made you feel like the best goalkeeper in the world, and yet you'd go into Jim's office, and obviously it's a different situation altogether.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, adapting to different people, and people, the way they treat people, or the way they speak to people, or just what they expect, you know. And some people react differently, you know. Some, you know, I think you've probably heard that some people need a cuddle and some people need a shout. And I think looking back now, I think that's why my job as a goalie coach now, you can see why it's evolved and come about, because, you know, you're going on your past experience. And, you know, I'm talking about through a bad experience at Dundee at that time, but it was a bad experience at that time, but now it's just an experience as such. You know, I always try and look at the positive everything now, and it's, you don't realise until you know, that's why you can say to young kids now, listen, this is what's happening, but this is how it's going to pan out, etc. So just, you know, you need that experience of people that have been through it to help you hopefully get through things like a dip in confidence or being out of the team, etc. But it was hard, you know, it was tough, because you look back and, you know, it's like everything in life. Everything had probably went quite well for me for, you know, at the start of my Dundee career until 23, 24, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, it's going the other way. And looking back, I probably would have liked to have gone out probably a year earlier, but end of the contracts were different then as well. So, you know, 26, that was my contract up, and that was it. I was released at Dundee. But, you know, I think people still say about, I think there's 5 goalkeepers who won the league with Dundee in their history, so I'm one of those. So, you know, it's one of my achievements that I'm, you know, quite happy with. Winning a league with anyone is not easy. So for me to do it with Dundee, and I still stay in Dundee, so it's, you know, it means a lot to me, the Dundee City. So, no, it's, but then you move on, and thankfully I managed to rebuild a career.
So did you get any other offers before you went to Falkirk?
Yeah. I actually trained at St John's for 3 days. Alan Main was a goalkeeper then, Foster at the manager, but it was kind of be number two, so that wasn't for me. I actually got married that summer. I got married 29th of June. Got married on the Saturday and flew out on the Monday to Sligo. So I was in trial at Sligo for a week, and I played in Europa Cup against Lyon. So on the Saturday night, and we drew 3 each with them. Sligo wanted to sign me. Well, obviously I was considering it. Steve Cortle was the manager. My good friend now, Ian Gilzean, was there, and there was another Scottish guy, Mark Hutchison. But it was just, you know, came home, and then obviously Jim Leighton phoned and said, listen, I've been speaking to Ken McAllister. and Falkirk would be interested. So that was basically, you know, I preferred probably staying in Scotland at that point. So went down, played a game for Falkirk, and they offered me a contract. So it was, it just went from there, really. But, so Sligo and St Johnstone showed a wee bit. It was Montrose part time as well with John Sharon. He kind of had me in for a couple of nights training, but you know, I was hoping to still stay full time.
It's like it was now the sort of number one for a honeymoon destination, though, is it?
No, luckily my wife's still with me, and so I'm used to that. And, but no, they looked after us really well. Good entertainment in Sligo, and
ah, bet,
aye. Yeah, so she enjoyed it. I think she enjoyed her week in Sligo with all the boys.
So you said Kevin McAllister was there at Falkirk. Some of the names that was there at the time, Kevin McAllister being one, Scott Crabb, David Hagan as well, another former Peterhead player. Quite a big sort of names at the time.
Yeah, when I went, it was a very experienced squad. You know, it was Graham Mitchell, Neil Berry, Chris McCartjohn, Brian Hamilton, Ali Graham. You say Crunchy, the legend, was there, Albert Craig. Gareth, you know, it was a really Joe Tortolano. It was Tony Parks was still actually there when I joined. Even though I'd been told he was leaving, I think he was there for the first month. So brief spell with him. But no, it was a really experienced team, and the first year we did quite well. I started off in the team, lost my place. Craig Nelson played some games. Manager changed in December, and Alec Totten came in. I played a few more games in January, and then, in January I became a lucky mascot, won the Scottish Cup run, where we ended up, for some reason Alec put me on the bench against Berwick, replay, down at Sheffield, and we won, and he put me on the bench for every game after that. Now, bear in mind, there was only three subs at that point, and he just did it through superstition, and Craig Nelson was excellent, you know, right through. You know, I think I played two league games at the end, just between the cup games and the cup final, etc. But Nelly was really great, and I learned a lot from him, because how he prepared for big games was massive. He was so laid back. He was something who was just sleeping in the dressing room, and that was Nelly's character. But I remember we played Celtic in a semi-final, and we drew one each on a Saturday. That was against DiCanio, Cadetti, etc. A really good team. We were back on the Wednesday night, and it was horrendous that night. It would never stop raining. And we were out in the warm-up, and if Nelly caught one ball all night in the warm-up, I'd be amazed. And then when I'm watching him before the game, and he would have thought he was going to play a five-a-sides with his mates down the park. He was going about laughing and joking, relaxed. And he went out, and he caught every cross, produced save after save, and we ended up beating Celtic 1-0 to get to the cup final. But and I just always remember going, you know, because that's what I think is in my... I'm always assessing things and always learning and analysing things. And I was probably too uptight from the age of probably 18 to maybe possibly even 26. I was quite uptight. And then I remember after that, taking something from it and being a lot more relaxed just through watching Craig in the cup run. So we got beaten in the cup final, which is disappointing, but it was a great season. And then the following year season, me and Craig started again. Luckily, I got in the team, and we had an unfortunate administration period, and Crunchy again came away with the information of there's only one goalkeeper getting a contract next year. And fortunately, I was in the team, and it kind of spurred me on to stay in the team, and I think I played 30-odd games that year. And it's true to his word, there was only one goalkeeper for the following season, and I got the contract in the... Craig left, and they had signed a young goalkeeper just to back up to me the following season. But so the following season, I think I played about 35 games again, you know, before my contract was out. But the 3 years at Falkirk were great, because we had I think we were second and third in the championship. We couldn't get up because of Brockville. I don't know if you've ever been to Brockville or.
I've been there. I was at the old Brockville, yeah. It was crumbling, shall we say.
Oh, but what a place. I mean, the atmosphere and everything. And I remember the last year at Brockville I played, and it was a place with the main stand, and it was right above the kitchen. and it was basically a big hole. You could see right through into the kitchen, and they just put yellow tape through it. But they would still, we played games, and it was full houses. You know, you're talking about the terraces and the enclosure and the stand, but apart from this big hole with the yellow tape, and sometimes you're in that in the dressing room at half time, like, that's coming down. That's going to come down anyway. And it was unique. It really was. But you had the old baths, but the atmosphere, it was right next to you. You know, you were basically nose to nose with the fans when you're taking a goal kick. But it was a unique place. It was brilliant. And we went cup final 96, 97, semi final 97, 98, and then quarter final 98, 99. But, you know, we got beat in the semi final against Hearts 3-1. But if you ever want to see a one man performance, Kevin McAllister absolutely ran the show. And, you know, Gary Naismith was a left back, but I mean, I think Hearts were at the pitch three times and scored three times, and that was a big, big disappointment, you know, to lose that game.
How was it for you to work under somebody like Art Thornton?
Oh, it was good, you know, until the end, obviously, but that was one of the things that happens again. But he was really good, you know, he was fair, he told you how it was most of the time. But he was, you know, enthusiastic, but knew how to get a team of players playing. You know, he did do that. He was experienced. We started integrating a few younger ones, and then he signed another friend, Marino Keith, from a Fraser with our boy. Obviously, Dan had a spell at Peterhead as well. I think it was quite brief. But Marino came to Falkirk as well, so we started travelling together. But no, Martin Corrigan, Andy Seaton. So we did get younger, you know, a wee bit as well. But Alec was good. You know, motivation. Training was always enjoyable, always hard at that time. So it was. It ended a wee bit. As you say, sometimes looking back now, it was still a wee bit. It didn't end well. In my part, anyway, because I'd... just because I'd been promised a contract and it was withdrawn. You know, after the last minute it was withdrawn, so that was disappointing. But I still look back, and I think it was 91, 92 games at Falkirk, 33 clean sheets or something, and second and third in the league, and a cup final, a semi final, and a quarter final. And it was basically, you know, the quarter final we played Rangers, and we were 1-0 up, and a corner come in, and Neil McCann basically held my hand down as a picture. I'm coming up to punch across and he's holding my hand down, and so I'm away to punch it. He holds my hand down. I try and punch it with the other one. He heads it in. It's one each. And Amoruso hits a shot from 25, 30 yards. It did bounce three times. I understand that. But the week before, I'd lost a goal at Hibs against Frank Sozzi, and he hit a shot and it deflected off at Evo Dunbeaman. So I always remember I got some criticism the week before for the Frank Sozzi shot, because he said, you move too early, wait till it comes past the last defender. So I was like, right, okay. So the next week, Amoruso hits one, I wait until it comes past the last defender, and by the time I move, it's in the bottom corner, and I'm 2-1 down. So I'm going in the door after the game, and he's standing at the door, Alec, and he's shaking hands, and comes to me, and he just turned his back on me. So I kind of, you know, I was straight after the game, he's been beat. We'd played really well at Ibrox, which was probably not helping anyone. And I kind of said a few choice words to him. As soon as I was past him, he'd start shaking everybody's hand again. So I was kind of ushered into the showers, but I was still getting him a bit of abuse from the showers. I just thought that was, you know, it was the true effort that I had, you know, cost his goal. But he was blaming me for both goals at that time. So it kind of escalated from there, that the contract got withdrawn. But and they signed another goalkeeper. But, you know, looking back now, it was a sour taste, because I'd been promised it, you know. I'd contributed to get us to Ibrox. I'd actually sold my house in Dundee because I was promised a two-year contract, and I had a six-month-old, my first girl. So it still, you know, it's one of those things you look back on now, but it was disappointing. I'm never going to hide for that. But still speak to him when I see him, not a problem, but that was disappointing, because I really enjoyed Falkirk. But
you then end up at Linfield in Northern Ireland?
Yes. Yeah.
Wasn't an anniversary trip
for
him, was it?
No, there was a story with that, but I'd actually went. Oh, I'd went. I forgot one night. I went in 96 to visit Glentoran. They wanted to sign me. No, it was in 96. It was 98. I was out of contract. And they wanted to talk to me, so they flew me over before I signed a contract at Falkirk. And it was a really good deal they were offering. So they thought they were going to kind of, I don't know, woo me with, come across and see us. And it was like, the money was good. I'm not going to lie that. So my wife came across. She came across. They took us both across. They were going to take us to the ground in a bit of lunch. And as we arrived, gets picked up and we're going to the Oval at Glentoran. And at that time, 98, armoured trucks were still going about. So there's armoured trucks everywhere in front of the taxi, behind the taxi, every street. You've got all the murals and everything on the wall. And my wife got a shock at that point. I'd been there playing games, obviously. They then took us down a nice, really nice banger in the marina. So we had lunch overlooking all the yachts and the boats and everything. And I think at that point it was a wee bit awkward for me because I basically just agreed a contract. And my wife had kind of said, you're not coming here. So I delayed that for another couple of years and then obviously back to Linfield. But Linfield was different from Glentoran. You know, Linfield was a big club. You know, 4,000 season tickets when I signed for them that year. We're in Europe, etc. But no, there was a lot of experienced players going across at that point. And it suited me because, I do get on to happier times. I did feel disillusioned with Scottish football because, I thought I'd done well at Falkirk. And I thought at that time I'd had a real hard deal. So I decided to try something else in a different country. And it was fresh for a start and it was great. You know, the first year was unbelievable. Played in the Champions League at that time in Georgia. Linfield hadn't won the league for something like 10 or 12 years, which you can imagine is like the Rangers across in Ireland. So it was, you know, the managers had to win the league that year. And I think we ended up winning it by about 25 points or something. And I conceded 18 goals that year. So it was a really good time. It's you go to every away ground and there'd be 1,000 fans there, at least 1,000. So, you know, as much as it was an island, there was less Scottish players coming in and players from other countries because it was just beginning to dip a wee bit. But, you know, it's still great playing for a club like that, playing at Windsor Park every second week. Glentoran, there'd be 12,000 for a derby, you know. That's at the Oval. At Windsor Park, it was a full house. Over 18,000, and it was a different atmosphere than when you played at Celtic or Rangers. There was an element when you come out. I came out for the Irish Cup semi-final, and I remember coming out for the warm-up, and when you come out to Ibrox in a big game, you always get a buzz. And I remember coming out, and it was just like, there was a buzz, but it was also going, ooh, something different here. But it was just because of the rivalry, it was just that slightly different. You know, I've never been an Old Firm game, but I would think it'd be slightly that same type of feeling. And but no, it was big. It was a successful time. You know, 2 years there, won two titles back to back. Set a record. I think it was seven games, and not conceding a goal. I think it's been broken now. But won a League Cup as well, and played the following year again in the Champions League, and were just about qualified for the first time ever. But got knocked in a wee goal, so it was a great experience. But after the 2 years, I was ready to come back and try something different. You know, it was great at the time, and it was a great club. They treated you really well, and the fan base was big. And one of those people speaking this week, they're talking about the Super Leagues and Rangers and Celtic, but you just wonder, you know, if Linfield were in with the fans they've got, you know, where they could go, but. They're a big club. It's a big club, and it was enjoyable 2 years. And it's funny, I'd never been back, and it was 2 years ago. St Johnstone went across pre-season. We ended up playing against Linfield, and probably about five or six people were still there. that the guy picked me up every week from the airport and dropped me off at the airport. He was the kit man still. And a couple of the old physios, they were still there every week. And it was great to see them because it was a successful time. You know, as I said before, winning a league in anywhere is very hard. So I've been fortunate to win four leagues in my career.
What was the standard of football like over there?
Standard, the first year it was really good. You know, I would have put it probably championship, the lower championship at that point. And then you just got the feeling that the money was going out, so it did drop, you know, a wee bit. But it seems to have lifted up again because a lot of them are now, I don't know, Linfield's full-time again at that point. So it has lifted again, I think, in certain areas. But it was very competitive at that point, you know. And I'd have said probably championship, you know, it would have been a reasonable level to compare it to.
I doubt there's many folk for Arthur have played in the Champions League, so that must be something unique for you now, is it?
Yeah, Arthur, I try and boast that all the time when I say the goal is, you played in the Champions League? it was a great experience. And, yeah, I'll definitely use that a few times.
So after you've left Linfield, you're going back to Dundee again?
Yeah, the Dundee thing. Well, but last year at Linfield, obviously, when I played for Linfield, I was part time, and they flew me across on a Friday night, and we something was trying to get me back on a Saturday night. So I trained at Dundee, Billy Thompson, Rab Douglas, etc. So I'd go in there 2-3 times a week and train just to make sure, try and stay full time. It basically was my thinking. So then I spoke to Kenny Carmel. I was like, would you fancy coaching the young goalkeepers and you know, the S forms as such? And I was, yeah. So I started doing it voluntary, and then he obviously became more regular. So I'd been coaching the goalkeepers probably for the last year on a Tuesday and Thursday night, and then at that point Dundee kind of went a different direction with the Italians and the Benettis, etc. And the club ended up being basically first team. And then, but they'd signed all these foreign players, but they'd been left with about 25 Scottish-based players. So that was basically a reserve team. So they set up the reserve team exactly the same way as they set up the first team, which was two coaches, a goalie coach, physio, etc. So it just came about by chance that Kenny Carmen says, we're looking for somebody to maybe come in and, you know, look after the goalkeepers. They were classed as under 21s at that time. Would you fancy that? And he says, and I went, yeah. And then it kind of evolved to, would you come in as a player and play in the reserve games with the young players and get a bit of experience and just talk them through the games? And I was like, yeah. I said, but ideally I'll do that, but once I get a good enough young goalkeeper, he'll go and play the games. Yeah, but we'll just be there, a bit of experience as a player coach. So I went back. The Italians had signed a contract, 2 years. The Italians then were signing goalkeepers. The Jamie Langford at that time, Derek Suter. But they signed Julian Speroni. So Julian signed him. There was an issue with his passport. He's an Argentinian. So that was taking longer to come through than they liked. Season started. Derek Suter got loaned out to Brechin, I think it was. And all of a sudden he says, listen, you need to go move up and cover for Jamie Langfield. Give cover for Jamie Langfield. So I'm like, okay, no problem. So on a match day, I would go and sit on the bench for the first team with Dundee's first team. Jamie Langfield would play. I'd look after him a wee bit. And they were waiting on Julian's passport coming through. So, I mean, at that time, you're looking and you're going, you know, you're talking about Georgie Nimzadze was playing for Dundee's. You had the younger ones, Gavin Ray, Lee Wilkie, Barry Smith were trying to break through, but Edwan Saraf, Caballero, the foreign players, you know, they were incredible. Javi Artero, etc. So it was a really good team. Really good team. But then the Benettis at that point were great because you were going and they treated it like a big club. Every away game, you're away the night before. Boom. But there was you would train at maybe lunchtime. And then the two Italians that got two wee Italian guys, they cooked the lunch. And it was the purest pasta you ever met, you could ever eat, nothing in it at all. And the Italians started with all this, no butter, no tomato sauce, no mayonnaise, and they were relentless with it. So you then eat the pasta after training, travel away, and they would take you out for a nice, well, they'd always take, never ate in the hotel, they'd always take you to a restaurant nearby. It was always an Italian restaurant. Same again, the meals were just, you know, proper food for a footballer at that time. You're going back to 2001, they'd be having their glasses of wine, etc. The Scottish players, to be fair, a lot of them struggled. And I remember the first time we're lying in the bed at night, me and Jamie Lanfield, obviously separate beds, but twin room. And it's just like, he's sitting there and he's munching away his chocolates and his crisps and everything. And all of a sudden the door goes and Jamie just like that, threw everything onto my bed. He goes to the door and marches Ivano Benetti. He's like, oh, no, no crisps, no chocolate. And you're like, okay, so, but they give you a room check, and they're in maybe two or three times every Friday night, checking your rooms, chocolate, crisps, because the Scottish guys, they couldn't handle this, no margarine, no tomato sauce, you know, no fat in the pasta, it was just pure pasta. So, you know, they brought it to another level at that point, but that was professionalism, what you probably get nowadays. But you're taking that back to, you know, 20 odd years ago, and it was good to learn from them as well. And then after, I think it was maybe 8 or 9 games I covered, Julian arrived. So I kind of went back to my role as the goalkeeping coach for the younger ones, etc. And played a few reserve games.
It was like a different world for the first time you were at Dundee then, was it?
It was, yes. I mean, obviously benefits Peterhead when we get further down, but there was something like 55 players at one point. And you're talking about maybe 12 to 15 members of staff for both teams, etc. So they were running like a Rangers or Celtic, to be fair, at that point. And obviously, as we find out, the cost was escalating all the time. But no, and then, so that was, I mean, that was me. And then it came to about, this is where Peterhead come into, and around about December time, and first team was sorted, so I was with the young kids, the reserve games, etc. But I'd managed to get goalkeepers up to a certain standard, and it was like, play them. You know, that was the idea of it. So I was then, hadn't played for maybe a month or so. And then I'm bumped into, I was doing a coaching course in Aberdeen, and I'm bumped into Kenny Strachan, who was a Peterhead goalie coach at that time. Got speaking to him, etc., blah, blah, blah. I think they were having a wee bit of an issue with Ivor through injuries, etc. I think Ross Buchanan was the number two. He just kind of mentioned it. I said, oh, if you're ever looking for a goalkeeper, you know, I might be able to get a loan deal now because I'm coaching through the week, but I'm not needed for playing duties. And I'm not sure, time scale, I'm not sure, but eventually the phone call came through. Ivor was injured, I think, and I was asked if I'd go and loan with Peterhead, so I kind of pursued that. I was keen to play games, and I went up and had a loan spell to start off with. And really enjoyed it.
Obviously, for being up at this, from this up neck of the woods, but were you aware of kind of how they were doing since they moved into the league?
Yeah, I mean, I was from there, so you always look and you always see. And the thing for me, you know, I'm always looking for progressive clubs, you know, and you know, probably still, you know, I've done that since, you know, the 2000s, I always look for a club. How can I progress myself? But how do I like projects. I like challenges. And, you know, you look at Peterhead coming in at that point and you're going, can they do a Carly Thistle? The stadium was there, etc. And, you know, as you say, me being back home did help because I've been away for a long time. And I did enjoy the first loan spell. Obviously, I enjoyed it when we get to the rest. But, you know, your family coming to watch you, because it wouldn't say that something's ready available. To travel down to the games, etc. So the loan spell happened, and then went back to Dundee, and then at the end of the season I had 6 games at Berwick on loan, and they were in a bit of trouble. I went down and played 6 games for them. They stayed up, thankfully. And then the beginning of the following season, it was kind of right where we're at now. And I'd obviously kept in touch with Kenny and spoke to Ian Wilson a few times and Lenny. And it was agreed at Dundee that I could just go into a coaching role. They were quite happy just to take the player thing away and just do a coaching role. So that took us in, you know, that took us into 2002, was it, I think it was?
Yeah.
When I signed. So it was the best, I say it now, it was the best of both worlds. Honestly, you went in and I coached on a Monday, Tuesday, something, well, it was probably 5 days a week at that time. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday night, I drive up to the Bridge of Dawn and train with the Peterhead boys. And then on a Saturday, I'd come and play for Peterhead. And then go home on a Saturday night. And sometimes I got the video sent through, sometimes a Sunday, but and then watch the game and do a bit of work for... At that time, sorry, I'd been promoted up to... That's when I started working with Jim Duffy. And I'd be promoted up to first team goalie coach. So I was then working with Julian Spironi every day as well as playing for Peterhead. So it was the best of both worlds, you know. You know that the pressure was lesser, should I say, because I went part-time, so I was enjoying it. And I was coaching every day, and I was enjoying that. So it was like, it was great. It really was. And the first year was successful for Peterhead and Dundee at that point. So
I was going to ask you a bit more about your first loan spell when you was there. Cause
yeah.
Some of the Highland League players were still there, like Stevie King and Mark Simpson and that.
Yeah.
Were you? What were they like? How did they kind of adapt? And were you kind of surprised at how well they playing?
Yeah, I mean it was one of them where you go in, and I was aware of that a lot of them had been there a while, etc. And I don't think at that time, I wouldn't say, I think it would be later on when I'd be fair to say that the emphasis did change and the types of player they wanted to sign, you know, even with Ian after that first year. But when I went there, I mean, I had a great relationship with Simi. Sometimes on the pitch we were a wee bit, you know, we did argue on the pitch because we were wanting different things, because Simi was obviously, but I mean, as a character, as a player and the attitude and everything, was unbelievable. You know, he would put his things in front of himself and block things and head things, and he was a great player to play with. But I'm trying to word it. I looked for different things at times, you know, from defenders in terms of where I wanted to be, etc. And we did sometimes on the pitch, I would say, and then off the pitch we would just speak about it. But there was good players. There, Kevin Tindall was there, Richie Livingston, Andy Gibson. When I went there, he was struggling with injury. Obviously Stuart was already there. Uh-huh. Craig Yates was there. So it was good. It was good players. But I did. It was sometimes frustrating because of the things I kind of saw at that point, you know, and it was trying to get your ideas across slowly. But no, in terms of the team spirit, I mean, I didn't think there was any problems at all. It was great to play with them, and it was just mainly sometimes for Simi. I think I said to Simi quite a few times, he goes, if you get any deeper, you need my thickened gloves on to wear, and I'll be in front of you. I would challenge Simi to that race, I think, but what he made up for lack of pace, he was in his head, he was there, mm-hmm. You know, and the amount of last ditch tackles that he won was great, you know, and he's one of these guys I think you appreciate more when you play with him than possibly when people are watching him from the stands. But he was a great character.
When you signed in 2002, there was a lot of changes from when you were on loan. So was that kind of the start of, you know, them changing the type of players they were signing?
I think so. And I don't know if that was, I'm trying to think, you know, it's like everything in football. And at that point, the club, I felt, wanted to go. And you probably know better that time. I think the club was finishing with third or fourth most seasons, or the couple of seasons they'd finished third or fourth.
They finished fifth the first season under Ian Wilson, and then there was two fourths after that.
So I often got to know Ian and Lenny when I signed, etc. And then, you know, as an experience, at that point I was experienced probably, and I look back, I was probably maybe not as old as I thought, but I had the experience. And then it was like the same. It was funny because Robbie Rayside ended up doing the same as me. He ended up getting a job at Dundee as the physio, and he was in the same position. He was allowed to play part-time, so it was one of them. Mention it to Ian. Sean McSkimmon, an ex-teammate, he was the same. He was coming back from America looking for something to do. You know, we are all around about the same age, and Robbie and Sean were looking for to play football but also start different careers as such, you know, when you get to that stage. And then round about Christmas time, I think Mark Perry was the same. He came from Ross County. So, you know, it was just one of those things. I think whether it was locations or whether it was contacts, we ended up having probably a really good back three and myself in the goal with, you know, myself, Robbie, Fred and Sean. And, you know, Ian Good was still there as well. He'd signed before us, Martin Babbage and that. So probably was the start of that. And then I think because I would hope to say it was successful, I think Ian then started looking. I was working at Dundee every day, and the location at Peterhead suited the Dundee players, I think, as well as, you know, the Dundee players suited Peterhead. So it probably was the start of maybe the transformation from, you know, the Highland League players to league players, which you'll be able to tell me more and better than others. It did sometimes cause issues and a lot of discussions.
Still does, I think.
Yeah, it's one we did, and when myself and Ian did get the job, you know, we did try and go to the Highland League player, and we scouted the Highland League continuously, and there was players we approached, and this is where it was really hard, because we offered contracts to two or three players in the Highland League, and they didn't want to come. You know, the best one, the boy Guild at Huntley at that point, was it Mark or Russell Guild? Was it Russ?
Russell, I think it was, isn't it?
Yeah, and we wanted to sign him, didn't want to come to Peterhead, didn't want to play in the league football. And there was other ones, and, you know, me and Ian were watching the league games whenever we could. And it got to the point where, right, it didn't really, you know, whether the I don't know, there was that fraction or, you know, that was going about, I don't know. But we did get an impression that, I mean, it was also a hard market to get players, because we were asked for transfer fees for a lot of the players, you know. So as much as people say we took a lot of people in from down the road, which we did, it was, you know, the connection was a lot of it was me, because I was working at Dundee, knew the players, and as I said to you before, the club was based in a kind of first team Italian, and there was good young players, so it was a market that was suitable for Peterhead, I thought. But you know, getting players at Highland League wasn't easy. And, you know, we took Stuart Mackay in eventually, but we paid for him. We ended up buying players, and it was convincing the players to come from Highland League was sometimes challenging.
Did they give you an explanation as to why, or did they just didn't want to move?
He had a good job, and he was happy. He was playing weekend. You know, that was the thing I think they looked at and goes, well, you know, you could see they could probably see the Highland players coming less and less in the Peterhead team, and more players from the football league as such are full-time players, and he had a good job, and he was really happy. He was a good player, you know, he was a good player, and he, as much as you can't guarantee players a game, I think he was looking for that, you know, which is that's the balance again. If he's playing football for enjoyment, then, you know, travelling over the country down to Ayr or down to Gretna, it can't be enjoyable if you're not playing. So that was the balance we found hard. But that's when we took over as manager. Sorry, I missed a season there as a player.
Was Ian Wilson under pressure to get promoted, do you think?
No, Ian was great. I mean, Ian Lennie, they were great. Speaking about Simon Stainrod earlier on, Ian was the same, you know. You know, always encouraging you, always giving you praise, always looking for the bright, you know, the bright side of everything. And I mean, we had a really successful, people say, how can you say it's really successful? That season when we got beat the last game of the season at Morton, we were great that year. You know, we took a while to get going at the beginning of the season, but I think from probably October, November on, you know, we were going at it then. And to end up, I think we ended up third in the end, which was, you know, really unlucky. But I think it was at the start of the season that cost us. Mm-hmm. And that might have been the changeover of the players, etc. I can't remember exactly, but we were a formed team definitely from January to, and it was just in the final 2 weeks or 3 weeks it cost us. But, you know, we had a good team spirit then. And Ian and Lenny created that, and the club in general. You know, the club was great to come up till every second week at Peterhead. Whether he was under pressure to get promoted, I don't know about that, because, you know, he did start as manager the following season. So, I mean, that last day at Morton, you know, that's one of the things that you look back on, and it's something strange. People say if you look back on it fondly, you know, because we got beat, which that's the result, yes, but when we arrived at Capel that day, you know, they were up the piling in the floodlight stands, you know, there was over 10,000 in there that day. So it's that game again, I'm talking about atmosphere and everything, and a do or die game, and unfortunately we ended up on the wrong side of, you know, the defeat. But I think that was it when, you know, it gave everybody that we need to do this again and be better. And it was, you know, that was for the following season. But as much as that, it was still a great bus journey. There's quite a few bus journeys from Peterhead. We stopped back in at Westerwood, and then all the wives and partners came back in as well, and we spent a couple of hours in Westerwood. And I think I remember I ended up in the Swallow Hotel in Dundee with Kevin Tindall, my wife and his wife, until the early hours. And, you know, it as much as it was a disappointing day, it was an experience that, you know, I look back on, and it was just a fine line. But, you know, it was a great day that day in terms of atmosphere and the type of game you wanted to play in. You know, pressure, all or nothing. And for East Fife then, the Pippis to be, to get promoted was even worse. But I think it was the week before we drew East Stirling, one each, I think it was the week before. That was the one it cost us. You know, the guys hit a wonder shot for, I don't know, I'll say 40, people might say it's 50 yards, but it flew past me in the top corner from that distance, and I still, to this day, can't believe it went in, you know. And we couldn't score until, I think, it was the 94th minute or something. I think Big Robbie got an equaliser, but that was the only time they'd, I think, they'd possibly only shot on target. And there was that 2 points we dropped, or a point we dropped that day, I can't remember. That was the result it cost us that season.
So that was part one of our interview with Paul Mathers. Join us next week for part two as Paul talks more about his time at Peterhead, including the controversies surrounding his and Ian Stewart's departure. Until then, for Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, stay safe and we'll see you very soon.